We end this hour with a fantastic voyage through the human body. First stop, the tiny blood vessels called capillaries around the lungs. Look, there you can see it in the blood.
Corpuscles releasing carbon dioxide in return for oxygen coming through on the other side.
Oxygenation.
We've known that it exists, even though we never saw it. But to actually see one of the miracles of the universe.
That scene from a Hollywood movie from the 60s, Fantastic Voyage, all about a miniature microscopic submarine and its crew of doctors trying to heal a brain injury after being injected into the bloodstream. This sci-fi fantasy is a dream come true for Dr. Gavin Francis, whose latest book is his own voyage through the body. Using the experiences of his patients as snapshots and the rest, his own powers of description, Adventures in Human Being, a grand tour from the cranium to the calcaneum, takes us to all of the places in us. Miraculous, beautiful, intimidating, and sometimes disgusting. Dr. Francis goes where no one has gone before.
In this book, what I wanted to do is visit the human body, kind of like a travel writer imagines different landscapes through contemporary stories, through the history, through the philosophy and the culture of a different place. And so I really, although the book does start with the brain, and it starts with my time as a trainee neurosurgeon and ends with some training in psychiatry, and moves all the way down after 18 chapters, finally gets to the foot, I really didn't intend to venerate or hold up the brain above any other part of the body, because to me and in my work as a generalist physician, very much a generalist, I really didn't want to privilege any part of the body over another, because they all give us insights into aspects of our humanity.
The things that you see in a hospital of how people have abused their hands, again, one of the most delicate machines on the body, it forms some of the stories that you tell. Do we really understand how precious and fragile our hands are and how much work they do?
Something that often I'm asked about is when you're working in the emergency department or even in the family medicine clinic, do you feel that people who bring injury on themselves in a way are as worthy of medical treatment as people who don't bring it upon themselves? It's a very difficult moral question. Ultimately, none of us really manage to be the kinds of people that we aspire to be. And for example, the chapter on the wrist explores three different stories from the emergency room in this book. The first is a guy who punches through a glass window while going to punch his girlfriend. And I've got to reconstitute all the skin of his forearm. Another is a story of somebody who does slash their wrist through extreme mental anguish. The third is a guy who shoots a nail gun through the palm of his hand and ends up with sort of stigmata on his palm. And I don't see any of those people as more or less deserving, really, of the attention. And it's the wonderful thing about aspects of the ethics of medical practice is that we deal with people according to their need rather than according to whether it's necessarily worthy to be treated.
Well, to that point, you deliver an astoundingly empathic account of the story of a man who got part of a ketchup bottle stuck in his rectum after going to a strip club and came into the emergency room.
Yeah.
And in the course of that story, you tell so beautifully how you have to suspend all those kind of moral judgments and that we have such moral judgments about those kinds of places on our body that doctors have to shed to be able to even treat us. How did you find the ability to, first of all, be so empathic, and secondly, to suspend all of the kind of ooh, ick qualities that we carry with us about our bodies all the time?
Yeah, in that particular chapter, when I look at it's about images, medical images, and how they can be beautiful, and also how beauty does have a place in the consulting room, although that particular case is a story of this getting this x-ray as I was attempting to get this bottle out. And this x-ray to me seemed like some kind of work of art. It was the very organic folded forms of bowel and the bowl of the bones of the pelvis. And then there was this great big kind of man-made object in the middle of it, this factory produced bottle like a skyscraper dropped into a pastoral scene. And at the end of the day, that guy who had that bottle up there, you know, he needed to get it out. And I was going to have to help him get it out.
And even thinking of, you know, places like the bowel and the rectum as mm-hmm. just interesting places on the body, not anything yeah. to be shunned, is hard for civilians, but you doctors have to do it.
Yeah, I mean, a point that I make in the book is that people often make sort of embarrassed jokes as they get into the position on the couch if I've got to do an examination like that. But at the end of the day, it's something I've got to do. I've found several rectal cancers by putting a glove on and putting my finger in there. So I'm not going to not do it because nobody else is going to find it. I've got to find it.
Do you know this old movie from the 60s, sci-fi movie called Fantastic Voyage?
Yeah, I've heard of it. Yeah.
You know, a submarine goes into the body and mm-hmm. does this tour through the body. It's all very, you know, oh, the magnificent nerves, the magnificent heart. But it's also a very dangerous place to mm-hmm. be inside. Would you say that's, from your experience, sort of the truth, that within beauty lies much peril?
Well, certainly, it's an old joke, isn't it, that medical students, as they go through the different phases of medical school, develop every one of the major illnesses that they're learning about because they get so paranoid. There is a measure of truth in that sometimes the more you know, the more paranoid you can become about your own health, because the more you know can go wrong. But at the end of the day, the body is astonishingly resilient. It's incredible. And it's, to me, a work of astounding wonder. And every day when I'm in the clinic, I journey through it, depending on what symptoms and what problems my patients bring to me. And the privilege of being able to stand witness to those kind of problems in every part of people's lives, from cradle to grave, is quite an extraordinary one. So I certainly wouldn't do any other kind of job than medicine. I feel very fortunate to be doing what I'm doing and to be able to situate medicine where I believe it should be, which is squarely in the centre of human culture rather than off in some sort of scientific domain, is also a great privilege.
Gavin Francis, thanks so much.
Thanks, John.
Gavin Francis is a physician and the author of Adventures in Human Being, a grand tour from the cranium to the calcaneum, which is out in U.S. bookstores today.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.